Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soul Seekers podcast, where we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure as we share our mission of mentorship is conservation. To learn more about everything we do, check out our show on Carbon TV or go to soulseekersnation.com. Freedom on, everybody, and stay soulful. Do you want to become a better shooter, reduce flinch, protect your ears, and just overall enjoy shooting your gun that much more? Then there's no better way to do that than by adding a suppressor to the end of your barrel. Be sure to check out Huxwerk Safety Company, as they are a leader in the suppressor world with their OSS flow-through technology, virtually eliminating blowback and toxic gas that can affect weapon system performance and shooter health. To find out more about Huxwerks, go to HUXWRX.com. That's Huxwerks.com, and go get yourself a suppressor for your upcoming hunts. This podcast is also proudly brought to you by Onyx Hunt. When I first got into hunting, I kept hearing all about public land and different access and how to find different locations to hunt. I was like, well, how are people even identifying all this stuff? Well, sure enough, I came across the number one hunting GPS app, and that is Onyx Hunt. If you guys want to get better at hunting and go deeper into your scouting, Onyx Hunt is the number one GPS app for that. Join the millions of hunters who trust Onyx Hunt to find more game, discover new access, and hunt smarter. It was a game changer for me, and I know it's going to be a game changer for you if you've never used it. If you have used it, you know the power that it holds. Guys, I really hope you enjoy this episode. If you want to know more about Onyx, go to onyxmaps.com/hunt. And check out their app. Be blessed, freedom on, and stay soulful. And we're live, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Soul Seekers Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack, and I am joined by two warrior amigos here at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo in Salt Lake City, put on by the Mule Deer Foundation. I'm joined by, as always, Iron Will Weber.
What's happening, everybody?
And the Savage himself, returning for a second episode, Maddie, the Fireball Nelson.
Happy to be here.
Great to have you.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
You ride. So, what is it? There's that movie. Oh, it's a rock movie, Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Yep.
You run at 11.
Yeah. He runs on high octane all the time.
Like, if you're a drummer for Spinal Tap, you just like blow up and disappear.
Yeah, it's no good. So, I think I idle at, 75 all the time.
Yeah.
So,
you know, talking about sponsorships and advertisements, like, Red Bull should be seeking you out, or a Monster, or whoever it is.
I drink a lot of Monster. If I ever had to stop and you had stock in it, you should take it out.
Oh, my gosh.
The king of cutting promos over here.
So we're here at the Hunting Expo, and when you get to reconnect with your family, your group of people, it's like soul recognizes soul, bringing in for the real thing. I'm not fist bumping. I'm not high-fiving. I'm full-on embrace.
All hugs.
Bring it to the real thing.
Oh, yeah, baby. All hugs.
And Maddie stands out of the entire crowd, not only for his electric energy, but your hat.
Yeah.
Dude.
It was an accident, man. Like, we just, it's not an act. Like, I cowboy for real on the outside. My brother cowboys for real on the outside. And independent of each other, we ended up buying really close to the same hat from two custom hat makers. And it now we can't take them off because everybody knows, like, oh, it's Seekins, the two loud,
like
skinny cowboys over
man.
There.
Yeah,
like,
it's an image.
Talk to them.
Right.
So, yeah, it's it wasn't on purpose, and it's genuine. Like, that's what I wear every day.
Oh,
but,
dude.
Yeah, it works out pretty good. You can pick me out of a crowd pretty fast.
Dude, roping and riding, and then you mix it with your handlebar mustache?
Yeah, so I mess my facial hair. Like, all I got to do is hold my breath, and it's like, poof, right? I grow a full beard in the parking lot. So I kind of mix it up every week. So right now, so that's my wife right there. Look at her face. The mustache is under protest, right? Like, she's like, come on, Sarge. Like, that's really, look at that cookie duster you got on your face. I changed it up. So right now we're rocking the old stash-a-roo. So.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Pretty good.
Dude, so what I love about your hat, the mustache, you in general, is just as prominent as a spiral fluted barrel of Seekins Precision. It's like, there's Matty Nelson, there's the barrel. It's like, you pick it out of a crowd right away.
Yeah.
Brother, we had you on the podcast last time. We talked about your first hunting experience. We talked about, like, this, like, what it did for your soul, all that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the buzz now.
Okay.
You know, because we're, before it was like, hey, let's remove the buzz. Let's talk about it. You made a social media post. Your shirt is off, and you're doing squats and lunges. And I was like,
number one, that takes a lot of cojones to video yourself and just putting it out there.
Yeah.
And number two, I'm like, fuck yeah, Maddie, let's go.
I try and stay in pretty good shape. Like, I mean, coming from where I came from with my military background, it was a big deal, right? Like, I mean, I was in shape a lot. We're doing 2-a-days every day. And, I mean, my life and the lives of the guys to my left and right depended on my physical fitness.
Absolutely.
And guys that were in the community for a long time and were you know, maybe a little bit longer in the tooth, there's an understandable amount of, like, hey, you know, like, Rick over there has been blown up a few times. He's a few car, like, he's got a full deck, but they've sure been shuffled pretty good type guy, right?
Right.
There's going to be some standards that are going to slip a little bit with those guys, but what they're bringing to the table is experience. Young guys that couldn't handle the physical fitness, like, that was a huge no-go for me. I'll tell you a quick funny story.
No, absolutely.
Changed my life. I just got to, it was called SOP C1. So I got done with basic training, airborne school, and I was waiting for the next Green Beret selection class to kick off.
Yeah.
And we had an instructor there, and we'll leave his name out of it, but he was a wild, like, I mean, like, wild man. He was a triathlete, crazy in shape dude. And I can run fast. I could beat him on the run. I could never outruck this guy. And we worked out super hard twice a day just in preparation to go to selection. And when it came time to go to selection, we had the number of people that had applied to go to that class and the number of people that were waiting didn't line up. So we took a PT test with the guys that were waiting in my group to go and say, hey, we're only going to grade on the extended scale. So you got to score not just as good as you can get times a little bit more. So we all took this test, and it turned out that not enough of us scored on the extended scale. So those of us that scored high enough, they sat us in a room, and the other guys had to go back out the next day and take another PT test. And I'm sitting in this room, and there's, you know, 7 or 8 of us in there, and this guy that we'd all looked up to is just a physical phenom, is in this room with us. And he says, hey, guys, there is your friends, your brothers are out there taking another test because they didn't meet the initial standard. And we were all like, oh, yeah, I mean, we've been with those guys since basic and airborne, and we just really want them to do good. And he said, you need to encourage them to quit. They couldn't meet the standard to start with. Screw those guys. Are you serious right now? They will get you killed in combat. And he just went on this tirade. And we all kind of sat there like agog for a couple minutes. And they were like, yeah, screw those guys. Like, but that changed, like, how I looked at their standards for a reason. In every industry, it doesn't matter what it is, spiritual, physical, the firearms industry. I mean, pick something. There's standards.
Yeah.
And I like to meet and exceed those standards, and I like to surround myself with people like you that meet and exceed those standards.
And that's awesome.
That's a big deal. So I've applied it everywhere in my life. Church, right? You don't meet the standards. Screw you. Like, you're out. You know? Like, I've applied it everywhere, and it's
a measuring stick for you.
But it also brings it makes people strive to get to the level of the people that you're hanging out with.
Right.
They see that group that you're with, and they want to get there, and they realize there's some changes they need to make.
Yeah.
To meet the standard and exceed the standard to get there. So I don't know.
That's a
funny story. Anyway.
That's a powerful message.
Well, that ties
message,
in a lot to what I was going to say, because would you be the same if you didn't do the military? Or is that Matty Nelson prior to the military training and the level of excellence?
So loud, kind of busy guy, kind of running around like an idiot. That's kind of always been me. Refined type A personality. Refined measuring stick of standards. That stuff is for sure because of my military service.
Yeah. So we were just over at Mountain Tough Fitness.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with them?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I didn't, until I sat down and started talking with them, I didn't understand, like, they're not just built about a workout. They actually are about making you a better person.
Yes.
And they do it subtly to the point where you don't really know what you're doing. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I've accomplished this.
Yeah, yes. Kind of trick you into it.
Yes.
Yeah, good stuff, man.
Not a bait and switch, but it's
like a
beautiful
breakdown to build you up. It's cool.
What's, yep. I mean, anywhere you go, like basic training is breaking down to build you up.
Yeah.
Selection for to be a Green Beret, break you down to then put you through a year and a half of training to build you up, make you what you are. I do it, like, I work with church youth all the time, right? People ask me, like, how do you get these guys to do this stuff? It's like, if I can get it signed off on by the parents and they're not just, you know, blobs that have been playing video games their entire life, I'll take them on a 2 or 3 day hike. Because you break them down to then sit them down physically, mentally, they're kind of broke down. And then you can really have a spiritual talk with these guys and start using that measuring stick and letting them
get
see
them to reach
that measuring
a level of vulnerability
stick.
And then you can start working on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
so that's what those guys are doing, man. And it's awesome.
How do you keep yourself sharp? I mean, because you were talking about it. No, and yeah, you guys laugh, but but so self-accountability is something that lacks in human mankind.
It's a big one. Like, I mean, this is going to sound rude, but look around the show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Just a lot sloppy. So,
yeah, there's a lot of bubble gum walking around.
Yep.
So, it's and that's maybe mean to say, and some people may get their feelings hurt about that. But at the same time, it's like you can't say that I'm not accurate in that statement.
Right.
So I like to hold myself accountable because it's the only measuring stick we have for how we're doing personally.
Yeah.
Right. Did I say my prayers today? Yes or no. Pass or fail. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Right. Am I in shape today? Yes or no. Pass or fail. Am I being a good husband today to my wife? Yes or no? Pass or fail, right? That's not on a graded scale. You are or you aren't.
What's up, Soul Seekers Nation? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really appreciate it. As a reward, I have some discount codes for you to use if you are in the market for a brand new hunting pack. Go check out initialascent.com and Initial Ascent packs. They are made in America. Their one-piece carbon frame is an absolute game changer. We run their packs. We love them. And you can save 5% at checkout by using the code SOULSEEKERS. That's all one word. Also, for those of you who are archery hunters and you are tired of shooting at dots on a target, check out deadnutsoutdoors.com for their lifelike 2D archery targets. You can save 20% on all of their products by using the code SOULSEEKERS at checkout. Once again, the code is SOULSEEKERS, all one word. Go check out initialascent.com and Dead Nuts Outdoors. Enjoy the podcast.
And I really like that policy or that adaptation, because the way you look at it is every day you have the chance to pass today. Pass today. You
exactly.
Might fail today. Fail as a husband today.
Yep.
You didn't fail the class. You could pass tomorrow.
Yep.
And but it's, don't and give it's yourself a medium ground, because then you're just going to rest your laurels on, well, I can just get by with doing this.
Yeah.
I can just get by with doing this.
And people get, like, everybody wants the one-step growth problem, like program, right? Like, right. I worked out for a day. How do I look in the mirror, right? That's not how it works, right? So it's a pass-fail event if there's no effort made. If there's effort made, it's the first day you started and there's effort made. Do you look like the end result you want to be in 6 months? Absolutely not. But today's a pass. Effort was made.
Yeah.
Did we make effort the next day? Then that's a pass. Did we make effort the next day? You get enough passes added up together, now you're twisted steel and sex appeal looking at yourself in the mirror.
Either you're getting better or you're getting worse.
Exactly.
There's no in between.
Yeah. Yep. We're getting older every day.
G.I. Joe's. Remember when that was a cartoon?
Uh-huh.
You may have won the battle,
yeah,
but we will win the war. Like,
Cobra's coming for you.
Yeah. Yep. Right? So the concept of what you're saying is like, all right, pass or fail, but let's keep moving forward.
Yep.
Keep moving forward.
One day at a time. Like,
people get so defeated. Like, quickly.
Like easily.
Yes.
Right, like immediately sucked back into their phone. Like, you know, I mean, like we've been programmed almost to just accept base level behavior, which is super unfortunate, because like you look around and you see people that are better than that, and like people admire people that are better than that, and it's just a choice. You do it or you don't. You pass or you fail.
Yep.
And so if you just make your mind up to pass enough, you gotta have 100% ratio.
Yeah.
You just gotta pass enough.
Well,
right?
So
you just got to keep at it.
Constant improvement.
Yeah, just got to keep trying. That's all it is.
I always, being from an educator background, right? If a C.
Uneducated. Educated.
no, excuse me. Educator, not educator. Those who can, and those who can't teach. And those who can't teach, teach PE. No, but when we look at society, and if 70% is passing, dude,
we would be an unbelievably different country than we are today.
Yeah,
not even close to what we look like right now.
Yeah, I mean,
people would be in shape, health problems would be down, success for like personal success, business, family unity, all that stuff would be way, way better. I mean, we would not recognize the country that we live in now if we could change that overnight.
Yeah, dude, here's what in the Book of Proverbs.
Yeah,
it's that iron sharpens iron.
Yes,
like 22:3 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Iron sharpens iron. Being around you sharpens me.
100%.
It's because, you know, I see you as a courageous human being. And when we are courageous, courage is contagious. And then we are living our true authentic self. And it is, to be an encourager of someone is to fill someone with courage. right, to motivate them. Yeah. But to do that, you also have to lead.
Well, and you can't encourage without courage. So
right.
Yeah, you got to have something to give.
And so sharpening myself, being around people like you, it's like, okay, I see Maddie doing his squats and his lunges on social media. Like, I'm in the buzz. And you know what? Did I do my push-ups today? How long does it take to just do 50 push-ups?
Yeah, like, it's not long.
Are we talking a minute and a half, 2 minutes, depending
probably,
on, like,
that's about it.
Yeah.
But that's more physical effort than a lot of people are going to do today at all.
100%.
Right.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, it's fascinating.
It's bananas. Like, I am sad for humanity when I walk. Like, I'm sad for America when I walk around, because we could be so much better with just a little bit more effort.
Yeah.
But hopefully the few of us that are out there, you, Will, the guys that are out there, hopefully that we bleed off enough contagiousness that it.
Wait,
that
you mean the few, the proud, the Marines?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yes. So. So, yeah, no, like, hopefully we can influence enough people to keep making those small changes, and eventually that'll have a big enough trickle-down effect that
right.
We'll see the change that we want to see.
Right. But, well, Mahatma Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, brother, let's shift gears. Let's talk guns.
Yeah.
Seekins has been the company I have always wanted to get my hands on.
Yes,
ever
sir.
Since day one, where I was like, oh, this is before you guys were really breaking into the hunting world.
Yes.
More in the shooting world, Glenn
yep.
with his...
pre-gun,
yes.
AR, small parts and accessories, complete AR builds. And then they came out with the hunting rifle right before I started in 2018. They launched in 2017 with the PH-1 originally. And it was a byproduct of Glenn Seekins, Eli Nightingale, the lead programmer, Lucas Mattoon, the quality control manager, sitting around getting ready for hunting season and griping about, I don't like this about... this gun, I don't like this about my gun, I don't like that about your gun. And they all kind of had a light bulb, like, we have a Brazilian dollar machine shop right there. Like, why don't we just make one?
Sure.
And so they did, and that turned into the PH-1, and now it's the PH-2 and the Element and the Hit and all of the different.
So break it down. So the PH-1 is the original Havoc.
Yep. Yeah, so it's that kind of
Steel action,
stained, like bead-blasted barrel. It's that kind of green color that we painted them. So it's not quite OD green, and it's not quite Slimer green. It's kind of an in-betweener green.
Uh-huh. In-betweener greener.
Yeah. So we got that one, and then it was super popular, and there was a couple changes we needed to make in order to meet the demand of how popular it had become. And so we changed to the PH-2, which had an injection molded carbon composite stock, still super, super stiff, and everything married up to the quality of the PH-1 the way we wanted. A couple of changes to the bolt to make it a little bit more, field expedient, strippable, and user-friendly. And that turned into the Element, which is our extreme lightweight hunting rifle, 5.5 pounds for the short action.
And that's an aluminum action.
Yeah, so it's an aluminum action with a stainless steel sleeve pressed on the inside. So
have you guys had any issues with that? Because I know you have a lifetime warranty.
Yep, 100%. So we overpressure tested them to like 180,000 PSI. I mean, like crazy amounts of pressure. And the best way I can explain it is think about like a NASCAR or a motorbike racer, right? The whole motor is aluminum except the piston sleeve, which is stainless steel. So we have a stainless steel sleeve that is pressed inside that aluminum receiver where the lugs lock up, the chamber, like all of the pressure is maintained inside that sleeve. But then backwards of that, everything is aluminum, so we save a pound of weight
on, a weight.
Yeah. On the
you
action.
You put the strength where it needed to be and
yep.
kept the weight down.
Yeah, so Glenn Seekins used to race motorcycles, and he was like,
oh.
Huh, I wonder if we could do this. So that's how he came up with the idea, and that's where the Element came from. Yeah.
So I actually got the tour. Go ahead, jump in.
I was going to have him touch a little bit on your guys' manufacturing process, and you guys make almost the entire rifle in-house.
Yeah, so outside of like the rubber butt pad and the trigger, we make everything under our own roof.
Which is
every barrel, every action, every bolt handle, bolt
so
shroud.
When you're given a lifetime warranty.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really putting your best foot behind it.
It is, yeah. And it also allows us like super, super tight quality control measures because I'm not relying on Machine Shop X in Mississippi and Machine Shop Y in Connecticut to build two different parts, and I really hope they marry up when I get them. I'm making everything under our own roof. And it's a testament to the Seekins team and how dedicated they are to making sure that those parts come off with super, super tight tolerances so that our guns are hyper accurate right out of the box, factory ammo, you're ready to go, you're ready to get it done. So
it
kind of sets us apart. We make everything under our roof, which is nice.
Including your carbon fiber mags?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a big carbon fiber shop, and we lay those up, fold them, press them, like they're all done in-house.
No one can touch you on that. Those are
It's something that kind of sets us apart. And I've gotten more loud about preaching that because it's becoming more common knowledge that, hey, people just kind of slap a sticker on the box and the parts came from everywhere. And that's how it's done. And that's okay. Like there's a business for that. There's a business model for that. That's great. We want to be sure that we're putting out the best product that we can make. And so we control all those tolerances under our own roof.
Well, I mean, we're not going to name any names here, but there are a lot of gun companies here with booths here that, oh, they're like, oh, well, this actually this company's Action, or it's like,
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, it's an OEM part or whatever. And that's okay. Like there's not sure. Somebody that's, it's not a wall pushing through our, pushing through our backer
screen.
Here. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, sorry. And that's, like I said, there's a lot of great gun companies out there, and that's been the standard for a lot of years on how to do stuff. They outsource parts, they get stuff made somewhere else, and then they put them together and say they're theirs, and that's okay.
Yeah.
There's good gun companies out there that do that. We just wanted to separate ourselves a little bit and have a little bit tighter tolerances and be able to, you know, put something out that's different on the market that makes us a little bit more unique, a little bit more special, and hopefully a little bit more accurate.
Yeah,
so that's the idea.
So in 2018, I actually came over to the factory.
Yeah.
Got to meet with Glenn, talk with him. That was actually the first time I ever saw a gun on a tripod. And
yeah.
I was like, huh, it's an interesting concept. He's like, yeah, man, swing it around and look out that window. He's like, we could totally smack some animals on that opposite hillside.
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah. Tripods have changed the, like, tactical world, the hunting world. That was my favorite. Like, I would show after show after show pre-NRL. Right, hunters would come in, they'd see our stuff set up on tripods in the booth, like, I'll never take that out in the woods. Like, okay. It's a guaranteed shooting position with, depending on how you set it up, zero wobble. So it's your choice.
Yeah.
But I didn't go out there to miss an animal. I went out there to you know, get some food for the freezer, and that's what I want to do. So, yeah,
always,
tripods.
Always counting pounds and ounces, man. Leave it out.
So,
yeah.
In 2018, I meet with Glenn, I tour the factory, and that was at a point where you guys were already expanding.
Yeah.
And yet, you guys are, how long is your backlog right now?
It's pretty big. So,
which
we,
speaks so highly of you guys.
It's an awesome problem to have, right? Like, I can't thank the Seekins family enough for the demand that they've created for our rifles. We have really loyal, you know, Seekins fans that buy 2 and 3 and 4 rifles from us because they are treated so well with the first one they get. And we made a change 6, 7, 8 months ago where we stopped doing direct sales and we go just through distributors now because it allows us to get guns in our customers' hands faster. So we do it a little bit different than other companies. If you want a rifle and you don't have a dealer in your area, you just call us directly. Instead of trying to get your dealer to order one, you just call us up. Our sales team will run one down that's in stock in the color and caliber and the model that you want, and then they'll have it shipped to the closest FFL to your house. So you can do the paperwork there. So we're really trying to make it easy for the customer to do as little work as possible. You just tell us what you want. We'll find one that's in stock because we know where they're all going, and then we get it sent right to you.
Interesting. Okay, so the HIT rifle over here.
Yeah.
HIT stands for?
HIT. That's it. HIT, baby.
Just
that's it.
Hit your target.
Yep.
You guys built that so that you can change out barrels.
Yes, sir.
And the bolt is tell, just.
It's also,
tell,
yeah. So it's one T15 screw, and that you loosen it on a clamp style wedge, and that's what holds the barrel in place. You take the barrel off by hand, you put the new barrel on by hand, you tighten that little screw back down, and you're done. If it's my barrel, headspace is guaranteed. You're good to go. Extra barrels are only $550 out of the shop. If you have to have somebody else's barrel, it's an open source print on our Action. So I'll send it to the barrel company that you want it made from. They'll cut it to our specs, so your headspace is still good to go. You don't have to worry about
that.
So
I understand the headspace, and I understand the chambering.
Yep.
But what about that bolt face?
So that bolt
like
face
that?
Is a tricky one, right? So we do it in a bunch of different calibers, right? So 223, 6 Creedmoor, 6.5 Creedmoor, 6 GT, 6.5 PRC, 308, 260, yada, 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 right?
Yeah.
So 223 obviously is going to need a different bolt face. 6.5 PRC is obviously going to need a different bolt face. So all you do is take the bolt out of the gun, super simple, and then you spin it away from the fired position. So if you're familiar with how it looks, the deep end is fired. You'll pop the firing pin through.
Yeah.
If you spin it opposite of that deep end, the firing pin, the shroud, everything comes apart. And then you push the firing pin through just a little pin that holds the bolt face in place. It's a floating bolt head, and everything falls apart just like that.
Wow.
Super simple. So you end up with 3 parts in your hand. You have the pin that holds the bolt in place, the firing pin, and then the bolt body.
Fascinating.
So you can change it out.
Because 223 is a carbine length.
Yeah.
You got short Action.
Yep.
You got that 6.5 PRC, which is that
intermediate.
We don't know what
it is. Yeah, where is it at? Action. Yeah.
That
so.
Redheaded stepchild of the, now we have the 7 PRC, 300 and all that. And the long action. So what, when you buy a gun like that, who's your clientele for that?
So, to be honest, we originally designed it for military and law enforcement use because they didn't have a chassis gun that was on the market that most law enforcement, like, departments could afford, right? So, I mean, there's, like, other chassis that are out there start at $4,000 or $5,000 just for the chassis. That doesn't include glass. That doesn't include anything else. Bipod, ARCA rail, et cetera, right? So, I mean, I talked to maybe two or three departments. I talked to a lot of the police departments a year, and I talked to maybe two or three where budget isn't an issue. Everybody else, man, they're just trying to rub two nickels together and hope they get a dime, right? So we designed it with the idea of, hey, I want something that's going to compete with a $5,000, $6,000 chassis system, but that is half the price. So we ended up even being able to do it for a little bit less than that. So you have all of the modularity of a chassis system, all of the customability of a chassis system for each individual shooter. But for the Hit is $2,100, and then the Hit Pro, which comes with a slightly better trigger and an ARCA rail already installed, is $2,400. And that's when I tell departments, yeah, and we get a lifetime guarantee. We have our law enforcement replacement program. So if they use it in the line of duty, gets sequestered by the state or the court system for any length of time, we'll send them a replacement one for free until it gets out of jail.
Are you guys always Timney triggers?
No. So we've been Timney for a long time. We still do Timney in most of our gas guns, and we're slowly phasing out from Timney to Trigger Tech.
Are you?
Yeah. So, and
you guys ever talk about Bix and Andy?
Yes. Yeah. So
because their triggers are pretty fat.
They are nice. They are amazing. So the Hit, in particular, comes on a 700 hanger, so it will fit any 700 style trigger that's out there, and it is super simple to replace. You take the action out, it's two pins, you push out, put the new trigger in, put the pins back in, you're done. It takes like 2.5 minutes, no time at all. On the PH2 and the Element, it's not the same easy style hanger, but it's still just pins that hold it in place. So if it's a 700 style trigger, you can swap those out, super simple.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So, we kind of make them so that you can plug and play and do what you want to do. The Trigger Tech triggers that we have in them now that are coming out of the factory are, you can tune them from 4 pounds down to a pound. And then the Diamond comes in the Hit Pro and one of the PH2 models now.
So, is it
and
the Trigger Tech Special?
Yeah. Yep, the Trigger Tech Special. And then the Trigger Tech Diamond comes in the Hit Pro and one of the PH2 models. And that one's like 4 ounces to 3.5 pounds or something like that. So they're crazy light. So, good company. They're really good people. They've been fun to work with, and they make a really quality product.
Yeah,
so.
I love it.
Okay, you shoot a lot.
a little bit.
I mean, I've been known to dabble
a round or two. I told a guy respectfully via customer service the other day that, like, I've lost more rounds than he's going to fire. So, he was super adamant about telling me how much he shot. I was like, it's not even close, but.
So you're new to hunting. You've only been hunting 2 years?
Yeah, not very long at all. Wow. So 2-3 years all I've been.
So when you are going to grab a rifle.
Yes.
And you like to shoot a lot of calibers.
I do.
What would you grab?
Man, so right now it's really going to depend on the terrain I'm hunting in and the distance that I'm going to be comfortable shooting. Right. So if I'm going to be, you know, 500 yards and in, then I'm going to take something that's going to be a little bit lighter. Accuracy is going to be paramount, but I don't want to have to get my molars rearranged every time I pull the trigger.
Right.
Right. So I'm going to run like a 6.5 Creedmoor, 6.5 PRC that's going to get me to that distance and have the energy on impact. It's going to do what I want it to do.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be shooting farther than that, then I need to, you know, obviously ethics is a big thing. Right. So where I came from, ethics didn't matter. If I hit somebody in the big toe or the knee or the chest, I was better off than when I started. So it didn't matter.
A hit.
Yeah. I got him. All right. Next guy. So but animals, that's different. Right. We want to be sure that we're putting them down quickly and ethically and making that happen the way we want to. So if I'm going past 500 yards to 600, 700, 800 yards, then I'm going to shoot a bigger caliber. And right now the 300 PRC ballistically blows the doors off everybody.
Yeah.
It's a very fun round to shoot. It's got awesome terminal ballistics.
Fun round.
Yeah. Quote unquote fun. Yeah. If you're shooting with a break or suppressed, it's a lot more fun than if you're shooting bare muzzle. So, but yeah, so I'll jump it up to one of those bigger calibers and then, you know, be able to get that extra distance that I need, but still have inertia, energy, everything on impact that I'm going to need to be sure that I'm putting that animal down. First shot, everything's clean, everything's ethical, and I'm not, you know, trying to chase it down for the next you know, 2.5 miles.
Time is critical.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
So.
What is that military? Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yeah. 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 Slow is slow, but if you do slow repetitions, you will be fast. So, right? Like repetitions breed speed. So. I tell guys all the time, man. Slow is just slow. But if you do it enough times, you'll get fast at it.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So I've never heard it like that.
But I'm going to use that.
Please do. No, that's, yeah, that's, yeah, we laugh about that all the time. Slow is just slow. But dude, if you do it enough, you'll get fast.
Okay, so what are you hunting with this year?
So I'll be hunting with my SP10M for a little bit. I'll be hunting with the Hit for a little bit just because that's what I'm most, I mean, I shoot 60, 70, 80,000 rounds a year. Yeah. I get to shoot a lot. So, and most of the rounds are going through those systems. So I know what they're doing. Oh, they're so heavy. Yeah, well, I go to the gym and I try and stay in shape. And
I carried an SP10 on a backcountry
You
hunt.
Did, yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Like, yeah.
So just get it, right? Like protein all day. So, but I'm also not carrying a plate carrier and extra ammo and my blowout bag and demo and everything. So, like, it's really not that heavy. So, yeah. And, like, I can lose weight other places to still use the weapon that I want to use, right? Like, how many times have we talked to guys that are chasing ounces and they're 40 pounds overweight, right? Like,
right.
I don't think I want to carry that gun that's 8 pounds. Cool, man. Lose 8. You have 30 to give.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
another harsh reality.
But which is like, I mean.
You do, though.
It's just a fact, right? So, but I will for sure be hunting with an Element this year, and we have a brand new rifle that is very under wraps. I can't even tell you the details of what it looks like because it's very hush-hush for Glenn. But it'll be out and available at the end of this year, and it will be at all of the shows next year.
Is there
so
any
you'll
way
be
that
able
we can
to see
test it?
I'm telling you, man. Yeah, right. I'm already giving away top secret information. My commanding officer is. No, so it's going to be amazing, and it is an extreme lightweight variable chassis
nice
rifle.
You're gonna love it.
So it's, yeah. So I'll be shooting a little bit with that this year as well, to be sure that we're getting enough rounds behind it that it's something that we're going to be very comfortable bringing to market with all of the, you know, everything ironed out the way we want it to be.
Is it anything else? Is it anything? What's my word? Is it unlike anything else anyone else is doing out
yes,
here?
Yes, it is not. It's not even close to anything people are making right now. So
sweet.
Like the best way I can describe it without giving away and like too much stuff, it's like a chassis rifle and a classic hunting rifle got in a train wreck, and this is what came out.
Beautiful.
It's
it's
amazing.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Extremely lightweight, extremely versatile with the features that it comes with. It's going to be awesome.
Are you guys going to be teasing that at all on social
media?
We
100% will. Yeah,
will
so pay attention to the website. Pay attention to stuff. So we're going to be looking at beginning of Q3, we're going to start dropping some images and some stuff out there. And then quarter four this year, November, you know, November, December, we'll have it. It'll be out. It'll be ready. And then we're going to go super hot and loud with it show season next year and hopefully just mop the floor with it. That's the plan.
Yeah. All right, so price point. Do you have a price point kind of in mind?
Ballpark is going to be between $3,500 and $4,200 bucks.
Okay.
So there's some unique features that really take a lot of time and artistry to put into those guns, and that's going to make the price tag a little bit more expensive.
Okay.
It's worth it.
Right. Okay, so one of the things I want to talk with you guys about, you are one of, I think, three companies that actually chamber 6.8 Western.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of that?
So I'd be lying to you if I'd been like, oh, yeah, I shot all those all the time. And no idea what it does, to be perfectly honest. So it is an extremely requested round. Mr. Lucas Mattoon would be the guy to talk to about that. He's our quality control guy. He's the guy that's like, hey, which new calibers are we looking at? What's the sales team been dealing with? What's the most requested one they want to do? 6.8 Western is the top of the heap.
Really?
Right underneath 7 PRC, obviously. But it is, we're making them right now. So they'll be available in the PH2 and the Element. You can order them right now from your local dealers, and they'll be rolling off the line in the next couple of weeks.
Fascinating.
So, yeah, there's a lot of taste and desire for it, big enough that we're like, we're not even going to bother around with, like, custom shop stuff. It's just going to be a production caliber we offer.
Is Seagun's going away from the custom shop?
No, it is still there. It's still a thing. You call us up if you want an SP10M, where you get to pick a lot of things. If you want a custom rifle from Seagun's, you can still call us up and pick a lot of things. And we'll line that out to make it a one-off rifle just for you. The wait time is going
to
be a little bit longer because the same personnel that are making sure the shop runs smooth are the same personnel that make that are the ones putting together your custom rifle.
Yes.
Mr. Mattoon, myself, Mr. Seekins, Mike Stilson, a couple of the really key personnel guys at the shop are the only ones that dabble in the custom side of that shop. It never touches the production line, and they are individual guns per guy. So they're a little bit longer wait, but
okay.
It's still a thing. You call us up, and you can order direct. You don't have to go through a
good to know.
Don't have to go through a dealer for that.
Wondering about that.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, we're recording. It's the beginning of February. If I wanted to get a gun in my hands, I have to go to a dealer.
Yes.
And there is a chance that I could get one, or are we talking about, well, a Shields out in North Dakota has one, but I live in Texas?
Yeah.
How does this work?
There's a couple fun things about it. So we have several dealers that will ship anywhere in the country. Shields is one of them, actually. It's funny you say that. So you can go into a Shields and say, hey, I want this gun. They'll say, we don't have the caliber. And they'll call another store. Doesn't matter where it is. Like, they'll ship it from Sandy to North Dakota. Here it is, man. This is the gun, the caliber, the model you want. Whoop, there it is. So we'll do that. We also, if you call us directly, we'll do that legwork for you. We know what guns have gone out to where. We know what the timeline is. So we know, hey, we just had a bunch of 6.5 PRC elements go out to these different dealers in 17 different states, but this guy in state 18 is looking for that rifle. We'll call those dealers and say, hey, pull that one off yourself, box it up. We'll have it mailed to the FFL nearest that customer, and then he can pick it up there until we get a dealer set up in his neighborhood.
That's huge.
So we'll do the legwork for you now. Call our customer service team. I'm going to, like, people are going to drop a million comments. They never answer the phone. Yeah, we're kind of popular right now. If you don't leave a message, I can't call you back. So Monday through Friday,
he's clapping
call us.
With that
oh, man, I'm telling you, that is the number, and they're my guys, right? That's my team up front. So I get real personal about people giving them a hard time. You didn't answer the phone. You called Sunday at 8 o'clock at night. Like,
and didn't leave a message.
Yeah, no, yeah. What am I supposed to do? Just genie magic your shit out of the air? Come on, guys. Right. So leave us a message. We will call you back. Write us an email. We'll get back to you. We're on top of that stuff. Usually it is within one or two business days. My guys are getting back to you. So leave us a message, write us an email. We will be sure that you get the gun that you're looking for.
Love it. Here's a question I have for you.
Yes, sir.
So all these gun companies are like, oh, this is a half MOA rifle, or this is a quarter MOA, or one MOA. And so when I got a gun and I reload myself, and I'm like, you're saying this, but what are you shooting through it? Like, what is the optimal grain bullet and powder combo, or is it just off-the-shelf factory that you guys are sending down range for this stuff?
Yeah, so on our guns, we'd like to factory test with industry standard stuff, right? So guys that are hand loading, we'll help them. We'll give them some pointers. We'll try and walk them through some of the stuff they're doing to make sure they're getting the accuracy they require.
Yeah.
But it's, we use what the industry standard is for that caliber as far as production ammo goes. Mm. So for like 6.5 Creedmoor, right? We're going to shoot 140, 143, or 147 ELDM. Okay. Right? That's going to be the industry standard for accuracy. 308, 175. Grain federal gold medal match, or 168 grain Hornady ELD, right? That's going
to
be the
standard. This is really good
standard.
To
know. Yeah.
Because people do not know this, and they're like, why is my gun not accurate?
Yeah, my gun's not shooting good. I bought the 6 Creedmoor, and I'm shooting center core lock 123 grain whatever, and the bullet's not, yeah, I mean, yeah. Bullet weight, bullet grain, bullet production, and their quality control measures matter. If you shoot, like, good information in equals good information out. If you put crappy ammo in, you're going to get crappy groups out.
Yeah.
Right. So that being said, the better the ammo, the better the groups. Seagans, we don't slap like a quarter minute, half minute, three quarter minute sticker on the box and say it's guaranteed to shoot this, because from what we've seen industry wide, somebody will do that. The customer will call that company and be like, hey, I'm not getting a half minute out of this gun. It's what you said it would shoot. And they say, oh, it's you. It's the glass. It's the ammo. And that's it. That's all you get for the call. We don't want to leave that customer hanging, right? We want to be loyal to our customer base. So a lot of my day, every day, is helping guys get the accuracy they require out of their gun, which is what our shooter satisfaction guarantee is. Like, what's your MOA guarantee? Your accuracy is what we guarantee.
How good are you?
That's, yeah, right? Like, let's make it so. And there's a learning process that goes into that, right? It's, I mean, we deal with it all the time. Guys call in, oh, I'm shooting 2 minutes with this gun. Okay, cool. Bear with me. Let's run down some details here. Okay, awesome. If you want to shoot better, maybe not off the hood of your truck while it's running and 12 dogs in the bed.
See, that's really interesting to me, the whole, like, the MOA guarantee and stuff like that. Because, like you guys saying, just adopting, that's like, to me, that's like putting everybody under the same guideline, same umbrella, and saying you're all shooting identical. Same tendencies, same everything. You're just going to shoot into the same spot every time. Whereas you're saying, we have a lot of more items that we have to analyze outside of just the rifle. We're building our rifle to take specs, you know, and stuff like that. And then working on the shooter.
Exactly. And it's, and that's a lot of stuff, right? Some of it's ammo. Some of it's, we'll pull up what torque rings, what scope rings do you have? Okay, let's go over the torque settings on those. We'll pull up that online, whether it's ours or some other company's. Doesn't matter. What glass are you using? All right, let's talk about, you know, advantages and disadvantages to the piece of glass you may have purchased. Worst case, I will pay to have the gun sent back to me, and I'll shoot it, right? So I'll lay down in our 100-yard underground range. I'm going to shoot it. I'm going to FaceTime that guy from the range. Here is your serial number. Here's the groups I just shot that are dimes, right? So I am not going to say that it's you, but for sure I'm going to say it's not the gun.
Yeah.
So what are the other variables that are out there? What can we address? What can, how can we teach you to get the accuracy that you require out of your gun?
That's awesome.
That's what that we spend a lot of time doing that every day.
This is what you get from Seekins.
Yeah.
This is why you guys have a year and a half backlog on certain weapons and stuff like that.
Yeah, thankfully we're not that far back anymore. We're down to, right. So regardless of make or model right now, we're anywhere between 2 and 6, 7 months out. So,
perfect.
Yeah, it's really good.
So you might be able to get one before hunting season.
Yes. Yeah, you get one before hunting season if you want it now. And because they're leaving in bigger numbers from our shop every day, our customer service team knows where they're going. And they, like we talked about, they can get you linked up with who just got one. And they can mail it to you and you're off to the races.
Let's wrap this podcast up with some information for a shooter to become better.
Okay.
I know like handguns, like the grip and the squeeze.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. And a lot of people are so, they miss all the time because of that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're shooting a rifle, hunting specific,
yep.
Okay, or let's just in general, are there certain protocols that you're doing every time?
Yeah.
Like, are you finger pad? Are you crease of the finger mm-hmm. on the trigger?
Yeah.
Are you thumb over, thumb not over? What are you doing?
So there's a lot of different things, and there's like everybody has their own flair, right? So I'll talk about what I do personally and what I like to teach, but everybody's gonna take that and put their own little spin on it, and that's okay. I learned from somebody, and I put my own spin on it. Right? So the biggest thing is master the basics, right? You can't do cool stuff if you don't have the basics mastered. Mm. So like optic setup, so I still get to teach a lot at Hat Creek, right? It's tier 1, tier 2 snipers coming in there, and I get to give back to that special operations community that I came from, which is awesome. But we go over day 1 is all basics. Stuff that these guys have had drilled into them from day 1, we're still going to sit down and go over, here's how you set up a scope. Here's what this does. Here's what this does. Here's what this does. Because, like we were just talking about, repetition breeds speed. Repetition breeds muscle memory. So they can do it over and over and over again. So body position, sight picture, trigger squeeze, follow through. All those are like, you know, the main points of shooting a gun. If you can't do those in the best possible conditions, right, on your own, in the prone, no wind, 100 yards on paper, how's my sight picture? Am I replicating it the same way every time? How's my trigger squeeze? Am I yanking that trigger? Is it a smooth press once I start? How's my follow-through? Am I jumping 2 targets off, or am I staying on the same target where I started? All of that stuff comes into play. So mastery of those basics is a huge deal. If I can make those perfect in optimal conditions, I can mold them to fit the scenario I'm in, off a tripod, off a fence post, off a down limb out hunting. Whatever scenario I find myself in, I can mold those basics to be accurate enough to meet the needs of the situation I find myself in.
So it's like, so it's shooter specific.
Yeah.
If you're doing something and you're having success with it, then understand what you're doing and then replicate it.
Yes. If it's luck, once is luck, or how does the saying go? Once is chance, twice is luck, 3 times is intent. That's what I was looking for, right? So if you can replicate it over and over and over and get the same result and you're pulling the trigger with your pinky toe, I'm not going to tell you to do it different, right?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So
right.
That's how you know how to shoot, and that's what you're going to do. Is that going to fit every scenario you find yourself in? Maybe, maybe not, right? So look at those basics. How is my body position behind the gun? Am I square behind the rifle, or am I canted? Are my shoulders bladed? Because that's going to matter for follow-through. It's going to push me off the target left or right based off how my shoulders are bladed, okay. How I manage that recoil.
I just learned this recently. Super fascinating. Little green army men, right? The one we used to play with as kids. Mm-hmm. The prone shooter was always like at a 45
with his leg cocked up. Touch. Yeah.
You don't do that.
Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah. No. So, I want my shoulder square behind the gun. I want my elbow square behind the gun. I want, you know, length of pull set up correctly. I want to be my breath cycle. I like to shoot all the way out. I mean, people have super opinions on everything that you do shooting-wise, right? Yeah. I know what all the way out is. I don't know what all the way in is, and I don't know what halfway out is, because that's all going to depend on how much monster have I had today. Did I get any sleep? Did I run up here?
Yeah.
Right? So, all the way out is always all the way out.
I just got to say, you don't know what all the way in is. I recently, within the last calendar year, I used to have a hard time falling asleep at night. This is off topic, but it's very important because a lot of people don't understand what is the limit.
Yeah.
And so I was laying in bed, and I was like, well, I know that breathing techniques relax people, calm people, and can put people to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I laid in bed, and I breathed in as long and deep as I possibly could. I was like, get more air, more air, more air. And then I breathed out to the point where I was like, I don't think I have anything else in there. Fascinating. Out like a light. Very quickly. But the point is, like, we don't actually know.
It's going to vary based off a lot of different things, right? Heart rate. I mean, everything goes into how much your lungs are taking in. So I don't know what all the way in is, and I don't know what halfway out is, but I always know what all the way out is. So breathe all the way out, and then I prep that trigger, and I begin that nice, smooth, steady trigger squeeze, right? There's, like, everybody's heard it, like, pull the trigger so slow it's a surprise when it goes off.
Right.
That is awesome for new shooters.
Sure.
Right? Until they get enough repetitions that they know when the gun's going to go off. I need to be able to sit down, look at my target, prep my trigger, and know it needs to go off right now. The catch is, like, hunting particularly, big calibers, I watch guys roll that shoulder forward a quarter second before that round goes off in preparation for the recoil that's coming.
And then they're aiming high.
It's dipping or it's doing something. So I tell guys all the time, you got to die on the reticle. You have to focus on that reticle all the way until the pin hits the primer and the round goes off. If you don't die on the reticle and you blink a quarter second before it goes off, or you squint, or you do something where you lose complete focus of that reticle, where the round goes is a guess. It's an educated guess, but it's a guess. If you die on the reticle, you know, hey, I missed low and left because I rolled my shoulder forward. The reticle was low and left of the target when that round went off because I died on the reticle.
Okay, so fascinating. Not taught in everyday stuff. Archery hunting, I'm focusing only on my pins.
Yeah.
Only on my pins. What pin? And then I, like, subconsciously see the animal behind.
Uh-huh.
I think that's missing in a lot of rifle hunting.
Oh, yeah.
So, like Tony over here, I can't wait for all of us to go through a shooting course together, because I don't know what's going through his head, and is he dipping that shoulder, or is he focusing on the animal so much, like, oh my gosh, we're on an animal, and you're losing the crosshairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus, I know it's there, crosshairs, I'm good, still there, yep, bam.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So, with parallax and everything else, if you get it set up perfectly, then the animal and the reticle will always be in focus, and you won't have to go back and forth between the two. If it's a quick shot and it's like you can't get your parallax set right out of the gate, you're going to have some, which one do I focus on, the animal or the reticle?
Yeah.
And they're going to come in and out of focus back and forth. You got to die on the reticle, right? Subconsciously, too, if we're looking at a target, right? I see it all the time shooting little tiny one-inch dots with mill guys, right? Like, if we are focused, hyper-focused on that one-inch dot, my body will subconsciously move the reticle out of the way. It wants the cleanest picture of that target that I'm hyper-focusing on. If I see the best elk I have ever seen, my body is going to want to move that reticle out of the way because it wants to see the best elk I've ever seen.
Interesting.
Right? So if you don't hyper-focus on that reticle and you don't die on that reticle when you break the shot, it's a guess. So you got to stay on it. It's a big deal. You got to stay on it.
Wow. I love that.
Dude, we got so much
that.
To learn.
It would be awesome to, like, just go shoot with you guys for a couple days. It'd be so much fun.
We're going to have to we'll make it happen.
Okay.
We also want to get you out on a hunt with us.
I would love to. I really, really would.
Yeah. So we're gonna get this squared up after this and get it going. Brother, as in the words of Matty Nelson, be good.
Be good.
I do say that to about be good or be good at it.
Right.
I say that to about everybody. So
Abraham Lincoln, he always was known for if you're gonna be something, you know, be good at it.
Be good at it. Yeah. So yeah, own whatever it is.
Be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I'm Johnny Mack, Iron Will, Matty Nelson, live from the Hunt Expo in Salt Lake City. Guys, if you like this episode, share, subscribe, give a thumbs up. Go check out SequenceProcision.com.
Please do.
Check out Matt. Maybe, who knows, maybe we'll be able to get a discount code and help out all the – do we guys do that anymore if you're going through distributors?
So it's tougher because we go through distributors, but what we can do is we can work with a couple of our guys that we know are going to be able to follow through, and then we'll run that promo code just through that shop.
Yes.
So we can get something like that set up for sure.
Okay. Well, hey, listeners, you never know. You can't outgive good. Remember that freedom on is always the way to go. It's the best way. Hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure. Mentorship is conservation. I'm Johnny Mack. Freedom on. Stay soulful.
If you enjoyed today's podcast and want to support the show, you can always like, share, subscribe, and leave a rating as it helps us share our mission of mentorship is conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of Soul Seekers Nation as we transform lives through primal adventure. If you want to get more connected with the podcast, check out the Soul Seekers Nation Facebook group as I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. So stay tuned and stay soulful.